As we look at the world today, this highly technological, very sophisticated world that we've built in the West, what we must ask ourselves is, are we happy in this world? And does this world serve us? Does it really serve us? I think one of the most interesting statistics that I've seen recently is in our world of 6.2 billion people with greater knowledge of peace than we've ever had in our world before, more people living on the surface of our planet than we've ever known to have lived here before, we find ourselves lonelier than ever before. How can that be? I think it says something to us. It tells us something about where we've placed the importance of the values that we are developing in our world and our lives today. Not too long ago, in the 20th century, we crossed a very dangerous line in my perspective. People asked me about the choices of technology that we're making today, if the choices are right or wrong, good or bad. In the mid-20th century, Western technology allowed the destruction of an entire city with a single detonation of a single nuclear device. The end of World War II with the bombs at Hiroshima and then again at Nagasaki. And while that was another time, and certainly lives were saved during that time in our history, and it's a sad time, and it's a time of learning, what I also know is that the moment that we made that choice, I believe we crossed that boundary between right and wrong. We're way beyond right and wrong right now. What I think we're searching for as a society, what I believe we're searching for as a civilization, is a yardstick, is we find ourselves in the uncharted territory of what to do with this technology that we're developing. The technology in the very first part of this program, we now have the power to change our gene pool, to change the weather around us, to create new forms of matter, new forms of life, the power to build tremendous weapons with the destruction potential exponentially greater than anything we've ever known before. As we find ourselves a species still defined by our differences in the presence of such tremendous technologies, we ask ourselves, we must find a yardstick, a guiding principle by which we measure the choices that we make in our lives from this point forward. And if we can find that yardstick, even though we've crossed the boundary or way beyond right and wrong, I think that we may not go wrong. And I believe that that single principle is that we must find a way to honor the principle of life in whatever we do. If we can hold life sacred, if we can hold the principle of human life and all life sacred in each choice that we make, whether we're talking about weapons or we're talking about genetic engineering, whether we're talking about weather or we're talking about taking our civilization to other worlds, because we're in uncharted territory, we don't know the answers. But what I do know is if we can hold that principle sacred, I believe we won't go wrong. What we know right now is that the choices of our past, the choices that have denied life, the choices that affirm life, those choices must be made in the lives of individuals before they become the choices of our collective response to this time in history. The key summary, if I could summarize for you everything that we've done in these last hours, in the bulk of this program, if I could say in one sentence what this program is all about, this is the key I'd like to share with you. And this is what I invite you to embrace and remember in your lives. The key is that we must become in our lives the very things that we choose to experience in our world. We must become that which we choose to experience. I could have said that on the first CD and stopped right there, and your mind would have said, why? How does it work? How do you know this is true? So much of this program is me sharing with you the exploration, the science, the tradition, the ancient wisdom, the modern understandings, the case histories, the true life stories, all that support this single concept. It sounds deceptively simple, and this is the workshop of our lives. Our workshop really begins when this program is complete, because now each of us, once we hear these kinds of things, we cannot unhear them. Once we know that these relationships exist, we cannot unknow them. And now our workshop becomes one of where we must reconcile in our lives what this information means now and how differently we choose to live our lives in the presence of this kind of information than we did before we knew that these things actually worked the way they work. What we know is that we are literally the matrix of our creation, the matrix that Max Planck suggested. He said, underlying all of creation, there must be a conscious, an intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. We are that matrix. We live within a field now many Western scientists are calling the mind of God. And it's within the mind of God, within the presence of one another each day of our lives, as we awaken to the knowledge of the power that lives within us, we have the power to choose peace in our lives, to choose peace in our worlds, to honor ourselves, to honor the accomplishments, to honor the lives of others in the presence of one another. Within every one of us, the mind of God is alive, and we are making those choices within the mind of God. It's the power that truly lives in every one of us. Science has taken us about as far as we can go into the world of left-brain logic. Now, to survive what science has shown us, we must reincorporate the rest of our experience, our right brain, our feminine, the intuition. And I think that's what's happening right now. It's happening in the world around us. Just the way that technology is pushing us to know how we relate to creation. We don't know if we should go forward with cloning, with abortions, assisted suicide. We can't answer those questions until we know how we relate to our world. Now our world is moving ahead so quickly, it's asking all of us to come to terms with that so we know how to live our lives. And I think that's the power of what we've done here today. Western science now suggests that we are bathed in a field of intelligent energy. This field is everywhere all the time. It links all of creation. It responds to powerful emotion. Where have you heard this before? Where have you heard about a presence that's always been with us, it's everywhere all the time, it links everything together, and it responds to deep emotion? Except for the name, it appears very similar to the creative force described by our ancestors, the presence of God. I'm not saying that this is God. We're looking at the mind of God, the projection of whatever it is that God has created. When we look at the technology of our world, have we really created these things on our own, or are we being orchestrated by a higher power? The higher powers that we're just beginning to understand. Through the field that has the intelligence that links all of creation, that field is reminding us right now two things, that all matter is consciousness. There is a consciousness in this table. There's a consciousness in this glass, in these plants. It is conscious. Whether or not it's alive or not, I haven't said that. It is conscious. We are interacting with it. All matter is consciousness. All matter is related. What you're feeling in your heart right now has an impact on what's happening halfway around the world. We are the collective answer to the challenges that are being given to us in Jerusalem right now, for example. This field is telling us this. It's telling us matter is conscious, matter is related. It is giving us the wisdom. We now, through this field, can discover whether or not consciousness is the same thing as life. And we can discover whether or not, if life is necessarily human. When does the carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen of our Earth become what we call human? We have to answer these questions before we know whether or not we can go forward intelligently. And behind closed doors, this is happening. It's hard to talk about it, and some scientists, it's a very, very different way of thinking. Others say we've got to do this, and we've got to do it quick, because our technology is pushing us to this place. Our new wisdom of this field allows new choices in science, new choices in technology, new choices in medicine, choices in peace in our world. We begin simply by honoring the principle of life, diversity, religion, and science and spirituality that led us to this point. We must honor the principles of life. That's what all these traditions have said. That's what science is finding in its own language. Honor the principle of life. We can never go wrong if we're honoring that principle. We asked the question earlier, who is the matrix of creation? Who else could it be? You and I are part of that matrix. We're not separate from it. We are a part of that matrix of creation. We are all living within the mind of God. Quantum scientists are saying this. They're finding new particles, and they are using spiritual names for those particles. The new particles, the quarks, are called the quark truth, the quark beauty, the quark up, the quark down, the quark strange, and all the anti-particles, anti-truth, anti-strange, anti-up, anti-down, anti-beauty, because the physicists have found a realm where the old ideas must change. They're finding something very new. We live within the mind of God. We can never go wrong if we're honoring that principle. And as we do that, the choices that have destroyed and denied life in the past become the choices that affirm life in our present, in our future. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Good. Thank you.
Hi, this is Dan Strutzel. At this moment, you're probably feeling excited, inspired, motivated, empowered, and most importantly, ready to apply the information you've just heard. We at Nightingale Conant want you to keep that feeling going today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life, and use it to create the life of your dreams. But we know that's not always easy to do. I'm going to share with you a simple yet extremely effective secret that will help you to maintain the motivation you're feeling right now and really achieve the goals that first inspired you to listen to this program. It's called the Online Mission Statement Builder. In just 5 short minutes, this free, easy-to-use online service will give you a detailed, clearly defined, printed statement of your life's mission that will give you the power to truly accomplish any goal, spiritual, personal, or financial. Your mission statement will be like a guiding light, keeping you focused on what's important, the person you're becoming, the life you dream of, and the goals you plan on achieving, so your life unfolds exactly the way you want it to. Use this free service now, and you'll immediately propel yourself toward the achievement of your goals and dreams. I know, because thousands of people have already taken this opportunity and experienced rapid and dramatic life transformations as a result. This is your invitation to be next. If you're committed to having more, doing better, and living life to the absolute fullest, and you'd like to achieve those goals in record time, simply visit our website at www.nightingale.com/mission-statement to begin the process. That's www.nightingale.com/mission-statement. Remember, there is no cost for this powerful service and no obligation, but I do urge you to visit www.nightingale.com/mission-statement now. If you hesitate, the momentum you feel now may fade away over the days and weeks to come. That's what happens to most people. They let their hopes and dreams pass them by. Please don't let that be you. Take action now, and you'll change your personal, professional, and financial future immediately and forever. Go to www.nightingale.com/mission-statement today.